Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout.
Yeah, I don't see it over there.
On LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Zaylor on the line. Jamal's running a couple minutes behind, but just want to say thank you so much. Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor. Hold on a second, guys. I'm sorry. At any rate, the Jamal's running a few minutes behind, so when he gets here, we will get him involved. Meanwhile, Zayla's on the line. Zayla, say hello to everybody.
Hello, hello, everyone. Hopefully everybody's having an amazing Sunday.
Hopefully so. So as always, we want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in and listening to us on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening. We do always appreciate it. Today, we're going to be talking about a number of things. And we're going to try and keep these in short categories, quite frankly, because we have three different areas. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about is the fact that the 9/11 memorial is coming up, and a lot of the families of the victims don't want Joe Biden there. First responders don't want Joe Biden there, so there's an issue with that. So we'll talk about why they don't want them there. The second thing that we're going to be talking about is this business about the evictions. And whether or not the federal government should be getting involved with this business about people being evicted because of their financial status or not, and the Supreme Court, recommendation as well. So we'll get into that because that's a big issue that's been on the news, as some of you probably know. And then the third thing we're going to be talking about is, some people have said creepy Cuomo, but at any rate, talking about this business with Cuomo, that's going to be very short, to talk about whether or not he should resign. And even though, we have national listeners, so, it's a bigger issue than you may think, because this would be, I believe, other than California, it would only be the second time that a sitting governor has been, well, this particular case, actually, I think it's the first one that would be impeached if they end up, impeaching him. Resignations are obviously something different. But at any rate, so we'll get to the bottom of all of that as well. Okay, having said that, Zaylor, Jamal is not here yet to talk to us about a blast. So from your perspective, do you have a blast or anything today?
I always look forward to Jamal's blast.
I know,
he always finds great ones to talk about.
Well, when he gets here, we will definitely interrupt the show because we definitely want to know about that. But I do have a blast, actually, to be honest with you. And I'll tell you something. I normally don't get into the entertainment industry stuff, but my blast is on Britney Spears' father. I mean, look, this lady is almost 40 years old, and her father still has her on this tight leash, so to speak. With the conservatorship. I mean, she's 40 years old at this point. I mean, she's been at this man's mercy now for 13, 14 years, whatever it's been. And she's being made to, I know we talked briefly about this, I think once before, but, she's gotten a new attorney. And to me, come on, Dad, let this woman go. At 40 years old, she could take care of herself. And if she can't, well, then that's still on her, quite honestly. She's an adult. I don't know. What do you think, Z?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. I definitely think that here's the interesting thing. Folks are like, well, what if she, what if she blows through her money and she gets pregnant by some other person or whatever? Well, guess what? That's what adults do. They have the right to make their decisions. They have the right to make bad decisions. The conservatorship is only really supposed to be there for somebody who, who's really mentally challenged and can't care for themselves. And it's just hard to believe that after decades now, that she's not able to care for herself. I mean, yeah, adults are going to make poor decisions, but that's part of life. And that's not what the conservatorship was set up for. And it seems like that's kind of where they've been. So I agree with you in regards to the.
I just say, the reality is she's an adult no matter how you cut it. And quite frankly, I just think her dad wants to hang on to the money. I got to be perfectly honest. because he's definitely getting some coin out of this as the guardian. So I don't know. Anyway, so that's what I'm putting on blast. The other ones I want to put on blast are the 22 Democrats that fled from Texas, even if they thought they had a good reason, and that's okay. I don't have an issue with the reasoning, but now they're suing because of the fact that they can't go back home because of their family. They want to be closer to their families and this and that, this and that. These people can go back home anytime they want. So this business about now that they file a lawsuit, you know, because of the fact that they miss their families and they're not able to go back there, I think is a bunch of garbage, quite frankly. It was their decision to leave in the first place. So, you know, I just don't agree with that. Zeller, I'm sure you have a different perspective if you want to weigh in on that.
Nope, haven't heard about a lawsuit, but there's always people bringing all kinds of legal action. Sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not. You know, we're in the legal field, so we know that, you know, every people have the right to sue, even if there's nothing there, unfortunately. And that's just kind of part of the process.
Right, right. Well, again, I just think that that's a bunch of nonsense, quite frankly. But that's okay. Now, I do have a shout-out, and that's to the United States Olympic team. These guys went over there. I think yesterday was the last day, but they went over there and really did a great job. They had 39 gold medals ahead of China, by the way, by about 3 or 4 gold medals, 41 silver medals, and 33 bronze, for a total of 113 medals. So they really did come out on top. So I thought that was phenomenal as well. And so I want to send a shout out to them that they did a great job when they were over there. I understand probably 12 of the athletes weren't able to perform due to COVID. So 12 people who spent a lot of time getting ready for that weren't able to participate, and that was too bad, quite frankly. But for the rest of them that got out there and got the job done, and even if they didn't get the job done, quite frankly, you know, because they didn't get a medal, they went over there and tried, so you can't argue about that with them. So, you know, congrats on that piece of it also. Okay, so
can I jump in on that one?
Absolutely, go ahead.
And a big shout out to the U.S. women on the Olympic team. I mean, if my memory serves me correct, I think the women outdid the men in regard to the Olympics this year. And you know, the challenge too with COVID was, you know, nobody was really had the opportunity to do the regular, you know, trainings that they normally would do and everything. You know, there are people running in their communities instead of running on a track. I remember, I forgot her full name, but Felix, you know.
The female black runner.
Yeah. She was, you know, she's a mom, and she came back after a cesarean, which is supposed to be really challenging to be able to come back from that, and then yet she still wins a medal. I mean, really, really, really impressive, really, really amazing. So big ups to the U.S. Women's Olympic team for really, really showing up well.
Yeah, they did a lot. They did a lot with track and field. There's no doubt about it. First and second places, etc. Women's basketball. I think they got 7. They've won 7 gold medals in a row, something like that. So they did a really good job too. Look, you know, the whole team. They all deserve the credit. There's no doubt about that. So at any rate, I wanted to send a shout out to them. Okay, let's talk about this business with Joe Biden and the 9/11 folks. Here's the deal. Now, we all know about 9/11, so the 9/11 memorial is getting ready to come up. And so basically, the 9/11 people, Jamal just walked into the studio here. So maybe we can get some a blast out of him that normally keeps people rolling in their seats. So I don't know. Jamal, welcome to the game today, brother, so to speak.
They didn't think they was getting off that easy, did they?
Yeah, hey, you got that right. So we did do one blast, and we did a shout-out to the United States Olympic team, by the way, because they did very well, 113 nice. Medals. But anyway, do you have a blast for us today?
Yeah, me, for being late.
No, yeah, well, I was going to do that one, Jamal, since you blasted yourself. You know, that's all good, man, quite
My
frankly.
My apologies.
You know, well, you know, I understand. You know, it's not a problem. What I'm looking for here on my is to see if I've got any messages on the on this thing, and I don't see any yet. So, hopefully I'm not looking at the wrong thing. Anyway, we try to keep up with all of that.
Or maybe so, somebody sent them all last week.
Yay, there was a whole bunch of them last week. There was no doubt about it. We got to do the emails first, actually, before we get into Joe Biden Okay, let's get busy with that real quick. Okay, Jim, your listeners and co-hosts downplay Fox News in terms of the information they broadcast. CNN and MSNBC will not discuss the more sensitive issues that impact the liberal side. Cuomo is an example. Very small coverage. Fox News is the most watched for 227 months. They don't hide the facts like CNN, MSNBC, and that's Jill from Houston. Okay, let's be honest here, okay? Part of the issue is that some of these, you know, in defense of, look, all of these news stations, in my opinion, they do have a tendency to slant in whatever direction that they are in all fairness, okay? I do know about the Cuomo situation, and his brother is on, I think this, he's the CNN anchor, as I recall, evening anchor, and he won't talk about it. And they've gotten very, very, you know, limited coverage. So they do pick and choose, and Fox News, quite frankly, is no better. So they all do it in all fairness, okay? But I wanted to read this because, yes, you mentioned about my co-hosts, et cetera, and I already know that Zeller and Jamal are going to be all over this if I didn't try to be at least neutral in my approach. So Zeller, I'm giving Jamal a couple of minutes to kind of get his thoughts together since he just walked in. Zeller, what do you think about it?
Well, I would say that whoever sent the email should probably be watching some of the news channels that they're disparaging, because I've seen lots and lots and lots of coverage as it relates to Cuomo, and I don't watch Fox News. And so I do watch some of the more liberal ones, but then I also, you know, look at the mid-range ones to get a fair and balanced assessment in regards to things. So there's been a lot of coverage in regards to Cuomo again and again and again. Now, is it going to be all day, every day, which is probably what Fox News has been doing? No, because there's other things that are going on in the world. But I mean, there has been lots of coverage in regards to Cuomo, breaking news and all that kind of stuff in the news conferences, and that's all everybody's been talking about. So,
I mean, that's a fair assessment, you know. Jamal, any thoughts about it?
Man, I'm kind of laughing at the fact. You know, this reminds me of, man, you ever go to, like, your team's, your kid's sporting events, and, like, say, a basketball game, if they call a foul on your team, it's the worst call.
Oh, yeah.
But if they call it on the other one, it's a great call. This is what this reminds me of, because Fox News, I have called them out a couple times on things that they've been hiding, and they do that. Both sides do that, and that's part of the problem. I think both parties is what's destroying the country. And we're not shy to say, you know, at least I'm not shy because I'm an independent, so I call everybody out on their nonsense. And so I think we have been kind of fair on the show. Now, we do have a balance, you know, so.
Really? What kind of balance do we have? It's you and Zeller, well, you know, jumping all over me every week, so I don't know where the balance is.
A lot of times you're on the wrong side of the argument.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, you know.
But matter of fact, Z, maybe you can help me out with this. Wasn't there a big controversy that Fox News canceled some kind of commercial about the victims, the police officers who were victims in the, I'll just call it the January 6th protest.
The insurrection?
Yes.
No, it wasn't an insurrection. It was a protest.
That's why I just said,
yeah, let's keep it straight.
That's why I just kept it, you know, PG. But they actually canceled the commercial that was honoring the police officers who were injured in that melee or that incident. So you can't say that Fox News is fair. No, they're not. They're always going to cheer for their own team, plain and simple.
Why do you guys think it is the most watched? Is there a message on here?
Yes.
I don't see it. Can you see it? Okay, here we go again, because I'm not seeing it.
I think it's the most watched because they're entertaining. That's why, to be honest with you. If you look at who's on there, for example, if you want Cuomo's incident to be repeated constantly, just listen to Sean Hannity. That guy is like a broken record, and he will say it a million times in an hour about Cuomo. So, yeah, is CNN going to do that?
Hey,
probably not.
You know, okay, we do have a message that popped up here. Fox News is entertainment for the gullible. Yeah, okay.
Entertainment, I find them entertaining, and I don't agree with them.
Gullible.
I listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I don't agree with them. I listen to Sean Hannity repeat himself a million times, but I don't necessarily believe everything they're saying. I think they're more entertaining, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I want to make sure I throw out there, and I'll have to track it down and send it to both of you, but I swear that there was like a court case against Fox News, and that like some executive from Fox News came out and said that, you know, they're not a news channel, that they're entertainment. So,
true.
You know, people shouldn't be looking to them for news. I always thought that was kind of interesting. So I'll find another article.
And they do it to get
details in regards to that and pass that on.
And Fox News does that to keep their ratings up.
Okay, so they're all a bunch of clowns. I get it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
With 10% news.
Yeah. What's the name of those five? What's the name of those five women that are on there with Whoopi and her sidekicks? You want to talk about entertainment? Oh. Anyway, let's move on.
We went to the bottom of the barrel for that one.
Jim, I'm going to move on to the next email after I drop that.
We didn't even know the names. Whoopi and Nim.
Yeah, but that's because the only one to be referred to is Whoopi and Nim.
Whoopi and Nim.
Right, that's it. Whoopi and Nim, you know. Big mouth Whoopi, you know. But let's keep moving. At any rate, Jim, listen to this one, guys. Jim, Mexico is suing gun manufacturers in the United States because the gun manufacturers design, market, distribute, and sell guns, they know routinely arm the drug cartels in Mexico. Why don't we sue Mexico for allowing the cartel to push drugs and illegals into our country? This is ridiculous. Joe from San Bernardino. They are suing Beretta. They're suing Smith & Wesson. And they're suing Colt. Because they feel that these guys are giving them access to being able to get guns. Now, it's what they're talking about. The basis of the lawsuit is reckless and corrupt gun dealers use illegal sales practices to sell these people guns. Now, look, Mexico cannot drop this problem on us. The Mexican cartel, everybody already knows, the government of Mexico will not deal with these people. Okay, period. So if they're going to try and sue us because they can't control the cartel, that's a bunch of nonsense. Go ahead, Jamal. I'll let you go first.
Hey, man.
Sorry, Zell. I let Jamal go first on this one. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, man, I don't know why everybody's so surprised that people would try to sue people. This is California, man. People sue over everything.
Well, they're suing the United States, not California.
Regardless,
I'm sorry. Let me back up. Gun manufacturers. Right.
Okay, but nothing surprises me. I mean, we've seen people get McDonald's get sued over somebody spilling hot coffee in their lap. You know what I mean? So if they want to try to sue, then go ahead. If both sides want to try to sue and counter sue, man, go ahead. Good luck.
Z?
No, I'm glad you corrected it because you indicated, you know, that Mexico is trying to sue us. And so, you know, I'm glad you clarified that they're trying to sue the
gun manufacturers, right?
Because you're not a gun manufacturer, and America is not gun manufacturers. So maybe it was a Freudian slip. Hopefully it was.
No, you mean on my part?
The interesting thing is,
it was Freudian. Yeah. I meant manufacturers, not the United States.
No, he corrected it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. But the interesting thing is it brings back the question in regards to why is it that there's this, I believe there's legislation that was passed indicating that you can't sue gun manufacturers in this country for anything, ever. And so that's my issue and my concern. So if this brings to light the fact that this is legislation that's there that should be looked into and addressed, I'm all for it. Do I think that they're going to win? No. But, you know, again, as Jamal said, everybody gets to sue for whatever reason or no reason. So that's my concern is why do gun manufacturers have this
pass, so to speak,
anonymity in regards to of not getting sued for anything as it relates to.
I can actually relate to that because it's like Facebook and these other sites, and they have immunity. So that's how they're controlling the media, because they have immunity. So look, nobody deserves the ultimate immunity.
No.
If you step out of line, I'm sorry, Zella, did you want to speak now or did you want to speak when I'm finished? Okay. As what I'm saying is that they have immunity, okay, under, what is it, section 205, 20, whatever the section number is, because they've been talking about this, that they have immunity from lawsuits. So the business about anybody having immunity from lawsuits, as far as I'm concerned, is an issue. You know, so whether it's them or whether it's, you know, the gun manufacturers, because they can't control the gun manufacturer. Gun manufacturers can't control who picks up a gun and shoots somebody. It's like a knife. How do you control that? Jamal, you want to weigh in before Zella gets back?
Yeah, how does this work? Because, I mean, can you sue a car company because of DUI crashes?
No.
The people that was killed, DUI or auto accidents and things like that? Unless it was like a brake malfunction or something like that. I mean, can you sue alcohol companies for everybody being intoxicated and, you know, liver diseases and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
No, so I don't see how you can go after the gun manufacturer company. But, hey, maybe I'm wrong. It's the first time for everything.
Go ahead, Zelda. Weigh in.
Well, that's the exact same thing that people said about cigarettes, right? People have the ability to make their own decisions in regards to cigarettes and that they had immunity in regards to that, and that was addressed, and they found that they were lying in regards to things. That's why you have the ability to be able to do that. And my understanding is that there was not a law that was passed indicating that you can't sue, these social media companies. The issue is that they keep coming back to the definition in regards to whether they're a news source or not, or whether they fall under media or not. And that's really what it comes to. So it falls back to Congress actually coming over and defining what these social media companies are news, and that they have to comply with the same terms and conditions that newspapers and TV companies do. And that's what the issue in the loophole is. There was not a law that was passed providing immunity to all these social media companies.
Well, you know,
was passed for the gun manufacturers.
You know, it's Section 205 or whatever. I can get the exact one, but let's face it, Congress, who's very liberal, and they work with those social media outlets, they're not going to come up with anything and change anything, at least not in this administration.
I'll say this. I've known a number of people. It seemed like, I don't know, Facebook has been on top of their game with that, because I know a few people that's been on social media jail, as they call it, or Facebook jail, as they call it, or Instagram jail, as they call it. You know, so I know they're actively working and trying to sort out a lot of stuff, so... You know, I've been like flagging to say, hey, be careful, don't poke, you know, be careful what you say and who you say to and things like that.
Well, we're going to see. We'll see how it turns out. Listen, somebody sent in a message here. Biden and Cuomo's own public statements that sexual harassment accusers, this is in caps, must be believed or not brought up when they are subsequently accused of sexual harassment. And they have to question the veracity of the accusers' statements in their defense. Well, first of all, in my opinion, thank you for that. Nobody is guilty, okay? You know the old expression, you're innocent until proven guilty. And in my opinion, that's what it should be. I mean, it's like with some of these things, when we see it on the news and everybody jumps to these conclusions. I know the AG did a report and all that kind of good stuff. But Cuomo deserves his day in court just like everybody else. Now, you know, we're going to be coming to Cuomo at the end. I should really just stop right there and keep going with the...
Funny, I just wonder, I don't know who this person is that wrote that. I'm just wondering, are they the same person that voted for somebody that said that they grabbed women by the, and they didn't have a problem with it then, and they voted that person in? I just wonder.
Yeah, I think that was about Obama. But I don't know that that was ever resolved, Jamal, from that perspective.
Oh, okay. Just wondering. Keep that same energy, as we say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's keep moving, okay? Jim, did you hear... Now, listen to this, guys. Did you hear that there is a Washington, D.C. councilman candidate who wants to create an African-American autonomous zone where African-Americans can live and give that zone their own mayor and city council, thereby operating separately from D.C. government? Can you imagine if every ethnic group wanted to do that? Where are we heading? And that's from Sue from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, I don't know if you guys heard about that.
No.
I just caught a piece of it on the news and tried to look it up a little bit more. So this is something recent.
Right.
Okay? They want to have this autonomous. Remember the autonomous zone that was in Portland where no police were allowed? And
right.
Remember all of that? Well, they want to have the same thing for African Americans is what this guy is proposing. Now, when you think about the fact that we went through desegregation where people are not collectively held together in one spot, where it had to be desegregated, so you had to open it up. Even the thought, in my opinion, of anybody wanting to establish this type of autonomous zone, so to speak, I just don't know how that could possibly be successful.
I don't think that'll be helping anything or anybody, to be honest with you. I don't agree with that. There's some place you got to draw the line. If we're trying to unite people, we have to work towards uniting people, not separating people.
Well, his name is Addison Sarter. Now, he says anybody that's Caucasian that wants to live in there will have a right to want to live in there. Okay, so that's one of the things he's saying. But in the same token, I just don't see how you can, you know, how you can make that happen. And what would happen if Caucasians got together and said, okay, we've got an autonomous zone. Ain't nobody allowed in there, so to speak.
But isn't Atlanta pretty much almost an autonomous zone?
I'm not, you know, you're talking about the inner city again. Anyway, Zella, you want to weigh in on that?
Oh, yeah, I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's nothing else to be able to say, really. An autonomous zone. Come on, man. Give me a break. And he's running as a candidate for city council. It's like, okay, you know, good luck with those thoughts.
Hey, there's always a weirdo that, you know, that creeps out of the bushes and says something ridiculous and run on that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, bringing up that, Jamal, we need to talk about Biden. As you guys know, okay, and this is one of the areas we want to talk about, it's 9/11. And as I said at the intro right before you came in, the issue is that the victims' families of 9/11, and there's 1,800 of them, as well as first responders, they all do not want Joe Biden to come to the annual 9/11 memorial. What they're basing that on is that during his campaign, he promised to declassify documents on Saudi Arabia. The reason why they want that, so the issue that they're saying is that he agreed to release as much info as possible on the 9/11 attack and has ignored numerous letters and requests. They are seeking full truth and accountability that the Saudi government, doesn't want the information released. And so far, Biden is siding with Saudi Arabia. Now, the 9/11 Commission report indicated that the Saudi Arabian government may have financially supported the 9/11 attack. And just to let you know, 15 out of 19 of the 9/11 attackers were Saudi citizens. Now, in all fairness to Biden, okay, people make campaign promises, but some of these candidates don't have full access to everything when they're on the outside.
Right.
Once they get on the inside, they do get a chance to see some of these things. So to me, these guys need to always be careful with their, you know, with their promises during these campaign promises. But, you know, after he got on board, he may have realized that there's issues, okay, that in fact, you know, he can't do this, okay? So that doesn't mean that he should not have responded to these people, though.
Right.
Because they're upset because he's not responded to their requests and to letters that are sent. And I think that part of it is wrong. Jamal?
Well, I mean, other than getting what they want, would there be a reply that could get that Joe Biden could give them that would make them happy? I don't think so. You know what I mean? And I do agree with you. Some things that is always going to be kept secret. You know, we have JFK assassinations. We've had other government incidents. We're never going to know the truth of a lot of this stuff. You know?
Sitting here right now, Jamal, I remember I was in school. I was sitting in the classroom. I could see it right now. And the nun came in and announced that the president had been killed and assassinated. And they released us from school. And we got on the school bus. And when I got off the school bus, the lady, I can tell you her name to this day, Mrs. Gowdy, was out in front of the post office fixing the flag so the flag would be at half mast.
Wow.
So, and that was all of those years ago. I think I was in the sixth or seventh grade, whatever it was.
Yeah.
All of those years ago. And we still don't know the truth. There's just certain things that they're never going to put out there.
But, you know, here's my other question. Okay, so let's say they find out the Saudi government has something to do with it. Then what?
They sue.
They
would sue them.
Okay.
Because that would be in an international court.
Could you make Saudi Arabia pay?
Those are always going to be the issues, okay?
Right.
But then you talk about sanctions. Alan, I'm sorry, you want to weigh in on this?
I'll let you finish.
Okay. Well, I want to put a note out on this.
You're in mid thought, so there's no reason to stop.
Right. I do want to say something, all right? I don't disagree with Joe Biden. And let me tell you why. Because I made a note, because I looked it up. Multiple presidential administrations have cited security concerns for withholding documents.
Right.
Goes back to what you were saying a couple of minutes ago.
Right.
Okay. Trump in 2019 did the same under the state secret privilege. So it's not just Joe Biden, okay? It's presidents before him. Right. Which would be all of the presidents since 9/11
right.
have opted not to be able to do it because they feel that there's some state secrets there. Sailor? Right. Or does that sum it all up, I guess?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's what I was going to reference was, you know, my understanding is what Joe Biden promised was that he would provide more transparency and didn't specifically indicate that he was going to declassify all the documents as it relates to that.
Right.
So some of it is interpretation in regards to what it was that he promised. And a candidate do allude to things without actually saying them. But what I was really going to focus on was the fact that there were other administrations. I mean, how many administrations between 9/11 and now where that information wasn't out? And so, like, you know, my question would be is, you know, there wasn't a new report or anything that came out. We've always known that Saudi Arabia was involved and the Saudi government was involved in regards to that. So,
well, let me
so
just...
why now? I know that it's...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, why now? I know it's going to be the 20th anniversary of the 9/11, and so there's going to be extra, you know, attention in regards to it. But, you know, sadly, like you said, that there are some government secrets that are always going to be kept close to the vest.
You know, and I agree with that. 20 years is 20 years. This is a special one, I guess, and so there's going to be probably special considerations under that. But I agree. I mean, there's just certain things we're never going to know about some of this stuff. I mean, even the situation with Benghazi. I mean, I don't know that it all came out. I'm not bringing up the facts of Benghazi, but I'm just saying there's certain things that have happened that we will probably, as American citizens, just never know because of that. We have one person that did say, and I just saw this, they say that they also asked the Trump administration to release that information, and they didn't. So I kind of already brought that up before seeing that. But
I mean, we still looking for weapons of mass destruction. We still look. I'm trying to find out if UFOs really exist. I mean,
UFOs really do exist.
Did they bring out the government report on that?
Oh yeah, but we know they exist. Haven't you seen one?
A couple times.
Yeah, there you go. You know.
Yeah. That flying saucer that was whipped out with my cheeseburger on it, man.
Man, anybody that doesn't believe UFOs exist, I mean, there's just too much stuff out there regarding that. I mean, I don't want to get into a UFO controversy and all of that kind of stuff, but I just think that it's arrogant for anybody to think that we're the only ones. I mean, look how vast this universe is, for crying out loud. I mean, why would we be the only ones?
Right.
You know, I just think that that's ridiculous to even think that, quite frankly, but... There's some people that believe that. I know my dad believed that. He said, no, He said, no, it can't be, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, okay, you know.
I didn't mean to get us off topic. I was just throwing it out there, though, man.
I hear you. Let's see here. Oh, here's somebody wrote in that says that, no, UFOs are a figment of our imagination. I'm just kidding. That's not on there at all. At any rate, so from that perspective, let's just move on because we'll just recognize the fact that that's just not going to happen. It's sad because the victims want some kind of closure, quite frankly.
Right.
And that's the real problem.
Yeah.
But I will also add to this, because I did a little research on it as well, is that the reason why also that the Saudi government, you have to be able to prove that they were actually financially committed to it.
Right.
What happened was is that the Saudi government... contributed to certain charitable organizations, we'll call it. And what they did with the money is not controlled by the Saudi Arabian government. Mm. So there's a factor there that's associated with it, is that where's the actual direct link that they turned around and said, here you go, here's the money.
Right.
But who knows who was behind. And that's probably some of the documents that they want to be able to see where that money went. You know, it's always the money trail, follow the money.
Oh, absolutely.
Follow the money. So, at any rate,
mm-hmm.
The next issue is being presented to us right now is that and actually to the listeners, because I'd be interested in hearing from some of the listeners that do write in, type in during the show. I'm just kind of curious. The issue is, should the federal or state governments permit tenants not to pay their rent? The United States Supreme Court recently held that the federal government cannot grant any further extensions unless Congress authorizes it. And then the CDC came out, okay, and gave a moratorium until October 3rd, I think it is, or October 6th, somewhere around in that time frame. So the question is, and this is to me is from a logical perspective. First of all, should the federal government be involved in that? Zayla, let me turn to you first, okay? Because I know we studied some of this about, you know, when we were in law school, about the 10th Amendment powers and things of that nature. So, Zeller, just whether we look at it from the federal government standpoint, do you think the feds should be involved in this decision? Starting
when there are extenuating circumstances, and I think the real question here is, like, you know, because it's already happened, and I think a lot of folks supported it, even Republicans, because we did have bipartisan support in regards to the initial moratorium. But the question really is, how long should that last, and when should that end? And so, you know, I do think that the federal government has a place in regards to making that happen, because is there a national security threat if, you know, millions of people are kicked out of their homes all at once? You know, do our court system have the ability to be able to address those evictions? I mean, we don't. I mean, we're currently really backlogged significantly in regards to criminal matters, let alone some of these civil matters. So, but in regards to this most recent one, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm on the fence in regards to whether it should continue or not. I know that we're going to spend more time talking about some more details, so I'll wait for that discussion.
Well, I got a question. I mean, I mean, you brought up criminal matters. Why do you think the courts are so backed up on criminal matters right now? Is that because of all of the issues going on with what we talked about before, with all the crime surges in the country? Could that be a factor why they're backed up?
Well, I think they're backed up, number one, because Congress really doesn't, whether it's the Congress from a federal perspective or state legislatures, really don't fund the third branch of government. I mean, they've been running on you know, shoestring budgets forever. I mean, I remember when I did my clerkship over at the LA Public Defender's Office back in 2008, they were still using WordPerfect. Like, nobody uses WordPerfect anymore. And so they were already antiquated. It was already backlogged. And then with COVID, you know, closing of the courts and not having jury trials and all that kind of stuff, I mean, there's huge backlogs across the country in every major city, small city, and everything. And so that's really what it is. I don't think up to this point, even before COVID, that we were really properly funding the third branch of government. I think that's a travesty.
Jamal?
I agree with everything Zeller just said, man. It sounded so good. I mean, I can't believe that they're still using WordPerfect.
Well, he said that was 2008. This, I mean, 2021.
Jim, I can assure you they're still probably using
they probably still using floppy disks too.
I don't know. I just look at it like, okay, you know, the court system is what it is. I don't see anything on here. Hold on a second. Am I getting any other messages? No. Okay, well, maybe I am. Hold on. Let me see what we got here. Is that the same as Eric Holder sending guns over the border? Oh, that was earlier. Okay, yeah. Eric Holder did send guns over the border, quite frankly. At any rate, look. Here's what I think. First of all, we're talking about the federal government, and I have to agree with Zeller that under the Emergency Powers Act and things of that nature, they can do that. It's actually called the Public Health Service Act. Under the Health Public Service Act, the CDC, which is a part of the federal government, can, in fact, they can try to do it. Although the Supreme Court came out and said they should not really be getting involved in that in terms of the extension, okay, because they think that the extension is unwarranted at this time. But this, to me, is a state issue at this point. So each state, and Zella, you know, you've got your real estate, you know, broker's license like I do. Each state, you know, handles, you know, this part of the business. I mean, the real estate licenses or broker licenses are administered by the state. So these issues, in my opinion, that involve real estate should be on a state level, not a federal level. Now, I got a buddy of mine that he owns apartment buildings, and he's telling me that the problem is that some of these people are still working their regular full-time jobs,
right,
and not paying the money because of the fact that they put these moratoriums out.
Right.
And quite frankly, I think that that's wrong. If you're able to pay, you know, I think that you should pay and that you shouldn't not pay just because they're saying, oh, you know what, right now, you don't really have to pay. And I'm just getting these texts coming in. Does the government have the right to bankrupt American landlord citizens? And in my opinion, the answer to that is no. And some of those guys are on the verge of bankruptcy because the banks aren't giving them any relief.
Right.
You know, they expect their money, their mortgages to be paid on those properties, and they're going to lose those properties. And the people inside, they're not going to care because somebody else is going to buy the property and they're still going to be in there.
Right.
So I think that that's absolutely wrong. Zeller, any thoughts on that?
I think he did answer that.
Oh, Jamal, I'm sorry. Did I ask you about it?
But yeah, you know, that's that is a very tough one because one, even right here in SoCal, and I can only speak in SoCal, the homeless population is just through the roof right now, and I can't believe how bad it's gotten. Even particularly coming down to Los Angeles, the closer you get to the inner city. So, do we want to be in a position to have more people out on the streets living like that? That's affecting even more businesses because these encampments are out in front of businesses now too. And what do you do with all these people that's out on the streets?
But here's the other side of that coin. Like I said, my concern is that there's people who are working
true.
And still not paying theirs. What I say is that, okay, you didn't pay, but you're working a full-time job. What happens when they file their taxes and they show their income was the same? You know, does that give a landlord somehow, I don't know, I'm just speculating here. Can they go after them to say, okay, you know what? You never lost, okay, any money. You should have continued paying. And even like when I talked to my friend the other day, I'm like, look, some of these people, they could have paid 10%, 20%, 30%. So maybe they didn't get a full income. But what are they getting? They're getting unemployment insurance benefits, okay, with that federal extension of $300, you know, on top of their benefits.
Right.
In addition to that, they're getting stimulus checks.
Right.
Okay, and they're also getting money now for these kids. So why can't some of that money be applied toward at least a partial? But these people aren't doing that. That just goes to show you the dark side of people, in my opinion, when it comes to greed.
But, but this is what we got to be careful of, because within any group, there's always that small portion. So is it the majority of the people taking advantage of it or less than?
These guys are on the verge of bankruptcy. I would say the majority of them are not paying, okay? Because, you know, that's just it. And I'm going to tell you something. Think about, the mayor of New York. No, Cuomo actually was talking about getting getting some of these tenants, you know, these businesses to get their employees back to work.
Right.
Now, they got those high, you've been in New York, they've got these, you know, the high-rise office buildings and things of that nature. Well, I think we talked about this on the show. You know, they're trying to get those people. But think about the guys that own those buildings.
Right.
Okay, and these guys may not be paying their rent because we're not at work anymore, whatever the case may be.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just think it is a bad situation. You mentioned the homeless population, and I can appreciate that. But I'm not sure that, to be honest with you, that's going to be the situation. I don't believe that many people. I think that some of those people are going to ante up, Jamal. Okay, if they get told, you know what, it's over and you got to pay, I think those people are going to come out with the money. Now, there's also stimulus money that's available out there because I checked on that.
Right.
The problem with it is that there's a lot of paperwork associated with that. So some people aren't doing it. Now, some of the people that own the buildings are trying to do it, but they can't get the money.
Right.
So I think there's something out there. Zella, any closing remarks on that issue?
Oh, yeah. The one thing I agree with Jamal in regards to that is that, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the majority of people that are out there. I think the majority of people are paying their rent, you know, with, especially if they're working and they have the ability to be able to do it. You know, are there always going to be people that are going to, you know, try to game the system? Absolutely. So do you not support those that aren't gaming the system and are really struggling? I mean, I think we still have 7 million people that are unemployed. Now, I know that we've had this discussion offline, that are those people that are actually looking for work, or are they just sitting at home trying to collect unemployment benefits, you know, or are they people that are genuinely out there looking for jobs? There's still people there that want work that aren't able to get it. And so, you know, I don't see throwing everybody out and saying everybody is a bad person when that's not really necessarily what the data supports.
I think it's on a case-by-case basis. And the reason why I say that is that the landlord should be able to have them be able to verify. Because, listen, they did an application. The landlord should be able to verify the person is, in fact, back to work. They've got their permission already to do a background check. So why not call the employer and find out, is Mr. So-and-so still working? And if they verify the fact that that person is still working, I think that they should be held accountable. If they call and they say, no, this person is not working right now, we've had a layoff, blah, 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 end of story. Because you got to do something. We got a message here. No one has to pay on a lease contract, what happens with mortgages dependent on rental income to avoid foreclosure? We kind of touched on that.
Right.
You know who's going to end up getting it? The banks.
Yeah.
Think about that. Now, the banks are going to get it. So that's a very good point. And what will they do with the glut of foreclosed property? See, those are good points. What ends up happening with all of that? The banks end up getting them. The banks end up making all of the money because then they get it back, you know, from that standpoint. So those are very good points as well. Let's turn to the last question here in the last 5 minutes. And that is, and it's just a question that's being directed, you know, to us. Should Cuomo resign? And we started it earlier, and I said, well, we want to wait, you know, put that into about the last 5 minutes, which is about what we have. What do you think, Zeller? Should Cuomo resign under these pressures, do you think? Or should he wait and to see if the New York legislators, and by the way, that's crossing both lines, there's Republicans and Democrats that are asking him to step down. What's your opinion, Zeller?
Absolutely. And Republicans and Democrats have been asking for him to step down since before the AG's report came out. But the AG's report, I mean, really lays it all out. And you know, 11 women, you know, hundreds of thousands of documents, you know, over 100, I think maybe 100, 150 interviews. I mean, they've done a very thorough job. And again, the AG isn't the one that did the investigation. They outsourced it so that it would be impartial and it wouldn't be viewed as biased. You know, they did what they're supposed to do. It looks like they're writing on the wall for Cuomo. And is he going to be able to be an effective legislator? No, he's not. He's going to be fighting and working on this the whole time. And so, you know, I do believe and support that he should be resigning and, you know, letting the state get on with its business. I mean, COVID's back still with this Delta virus, with this Delta variant. There's lots of things that need to be happening, and the governor needs to be focused on that.
You know, here's what's interesting. Cuomo is the one that said earlier on, let the G, I'm going to have the AG do an investigation. You know, so everybody hold back, yep. Wait, mm-hmm. You know, blah, 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 blah. Let them do their investigation and wait before you start yelling for resignations. Well, now that that's done, he's got his team out there saying, wait a second, you know, this stuff's not true.
Man.
Jamal, what do you think?
No, typical politician stuff, man. You know, power hungry. It's just time to step down, man. The, you know, the show is over. Maybe he's trying to collect the last few paychecks or something, and I don't know.
We got another message coming in that says Cuomo has to resign. He's done politically. And that's true because, you know, that guy had designs on the presidency.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's gone.
Not anymore.
But see, here's what I fault Cuomo on also. I say he's a hypocrite because when some of these other politicians came out, okay, that they got themselves in trouble with sexual harassment, Cuomo was one of the ones jumping up, yelling and screaming, that they need to resign or they need to do that. As a matter of fact, even when Brett Kavanaugh, I think, was running, but you know, for the Supreme Court, he was one of the ones that was outspoken talking about this is a travesty, blah, 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 blah. You know, again, being hypocritical in all of this. I just think that sometimes with some of this, and I'll say a person is innocent until proven guilty, okay? But the facts are there. Now, one woman has filed a criminal charge against him. I don't know if you know that, Jamal, but yeah, a couple of days ago, one of these people have actually filed a criminal charge against him. So that's going to be real interesting, yep. Because if the prosecution picks it up, which they probably will, he could actually be arrested.
Is Gloria Allred her lawyer? Because if so,
no, that's this is a criminal matter.
Oh, okay.
She only does civil.
Okay.
So she's probably going to be representing some civil. Right. That's exactly right. Zella said there's some civil litigation probably coming as well, and I'm right sure.
Once Super Glow is on the case, man, you.
Super Glow. Man, let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this, Zella, but Gloria Allred was the main speaker at my graduation from law school.
Man.
Yeah, all those years ago. So she's been out there for a long time doing this for sure.
I got the name Super Glow from Larry Elder, man. I do listen to Larry Elder always calls her Super Glow whenever she's on his show.
You know what? Speaking about, we only got 1 minute left, but speaking about Larry Elder, I saw the stats on this Newsom recall. He's at 18%, and the other two that are running, I don't have their names off the top of my head right now. One used to be the mayor of San Diego, and I think the other one is the mayor of San Diego, something like that at any rate. I forget exactly what it is. But they're both at 10%, and they're both politicians. Larry Elder's not a politician.
Yeah.
You know, but he's at 18%, and then the two closest to him are at 10% and 10%.
This is California. You don't need to be a politician to run, man. Arnold Schwarzenegger won. You know, that time when Arnold Schwarzenegger won, you know, even like they had like 50 people on that ballot, and Gary Coleman was even one of them.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah.
You don't have to be.
It could be a clown show. There's no doubt about it.
Shout out to Larry Elder, man. He drives me crazy, but I do have a level of respect for him.
But here's the deal also, and the deal is, as we're getting off the air here, is that they have a right to run, so we'll just wait and see. Okay, as usual, you guys, the time is... I'm sorry, Zella, were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I said, yeah, they have the right to run here. I agree with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. At any rate, look, again, thank you, everybody, for listening, and do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until next week, be safe out there, guys. Jamal, Zella, sign off.
Jim Potts for governor, y'all.
The thought was out there, man. Some people approached me, but I turned them down. Who wants that aggravation? Talk to you, everybody, next week. Be safe.
All right. Bye.
Bye.